niggas tryna get it, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
Hit that house, yeah, bitch. Nick, tell me, is you with it, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
Home invasion was persuasive.
Was persuasive, was persuasive.
From 9 to 5, I know it's vacant, yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch.
Dreams of living life like rappers do.
Like rappers do, like rappers.
Back when condom rappers wasn't cool.
They wasn't cool, they was.
Good afternoon, soccer aficionados, and welcome to the Champions League, the European soccer show with the European soccer guy. I'm your host, DJ Cruyff, and you're listening to the best radio from San Fran to Japan, Penguin Radio. You can find us at radio.dominican.edu or 102.3 FM. in San Rafael, California. This is the 6th episode of a 9 shows marathon that will hang around during this magic tournament called Champions League, which is, of course, not being played today still. In these weeks have, as you might have noticed, been postponed, and it's serious consideration for being cancelled. We have a slight chance, as multiple sources said, that will be resumed somewhere in June or July. We will see. They postponed the Olympics, of course, the European Games in 2021, so there is a little room, a little more room now for European soccer to get back. You may have heard that UEFA and FIFA do not want, you know, national federations to cancel or postpone their ending of the season just yet. But in Belgium, the Jupiler League just said, okay, we're done, we will not resume it, we will not continue after this. So who was at the top of the table when we stopped, which was Club Brugge, get awarded with the title. And yes, Belgium has a complicated system. They play the first games, well, everybody against everybody, and then the standing gets split in 4 groups, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it's 4 groups, and you know, the first best of the standing group play against each other in a mini tournament where they decide who's gonna win the championship and so on and so forth. Like, the second group decides who gets in qualification for Europa League games, or there is the bottom group who decides who's gonna get relegated. So it's not a proper, you know, everybody plays against anybody in one stadium and then in the other stadium, just like it works in Italy, in England, in Spain. It's not like that. So it's not away and home games, 38 games, you know, especially in leagues that are 20 squads deep, such as I told you, the Italian one, the English one, the Spanish one. The Bundesliga in Germany has only 18 teams, so 34 games, but in Belgium, they don't have this system, this, you know, basic and traditional system. They have this complicated split after the first couple of probably 20 games. Yes, they have this split system that's really strange. But we really need to distract from this coronavirus newsreel. It's been a lot to handle for us in Italy. You know, your host DJ Cruyff is actually from the beautiful land of Italy, where I am recording your show right now. Some people here have been self-isolating and self-quarantining for around 40 days, and mental health issues are really, really getting importance here. We are, you know, a pretty traditionalist country, but we're starting to consider the importance of these topics and just focusing on them. It's a lot to handle, as I told you, both mentally and physically. Since we are not even allowed to go out of the house, just in our gardens, and we cannot go to groceries many times per week, so we just do a lot of buying at the supermarket in just one day, and we will be done for the rest of the week. But I guess the only way we have right now to travel is with our minds, and thanks to soccer, we are traveling right away to the park and stadium in Copenhagen, Denmark. We are taking an airplane to Northern Europe to rewind together the 2000 Europa League final between English powerhouse Arsenal FC and Galatasaray, one of the most decorated teams in Turkey. Such an historic game for many reasons. They aired it last morning, and I watched it. It was great. I mean, in 2000, I was just 2 years old. Just two. So, of course, I was not able to see it or remember it, of course. But I know a couple of friends of mine who were, you know, grown-ups back then, and they told me it was a great game, so I watched it, and my expectations were completely fulfilled. Fun game itself, great coaches. Arsenal had a great history of losing European finals, and this seemed really their chance against the underdog from Turkey. Arsenal also won previously in the 90s a European final in this very Parken Stadium in Copenhagen. The Cup's Winners' Cup is a cup that in European soccer doesn't exist anymore, of course, but it was kind of the third for importance, the third European Cup behind, of course, the Champions League and what's now called the Europa League. It was still called the UEFA Cup back then. And then, the third for importance, it was this Cup Winners' Cup. It will be resumed in some shape or form, because in 2022, let's see what happens with coronavirus, but in 2022, another European competition will be introduced, so it will be the third. And I'm really looking forward to it, because it will be hysterical. You know, Europa League always plays games in Bulgaria or Hungary, on Albania, Slovenia, in crappy stadiums with nobody watching. And it's really, really cool, because soccer is not only the, you know, the shining lights and the Champions League finals and the best players in the world playing against each other. Actually, most of soccer is not that watched and appreciated and played in a great shape or form. So when you get the chance to see European games from teams, you know, from Kazakhstan or Azerbaijan or Denmark, Sweden, it's really fun to watch, because it's really a different sport, basically. But let's get back to our Arsenal Galatasaray Europa League final game. Arsenal, I told you, won the in the 90s a European final in the Parken Stadium in Copenhagen against Italian powerhouse Parma, which is the city where I happen to live. So I know a lot of people who went into that final. One of them is my father, who still has some memorabilia from that game and from the trip to Denmark, you know, traveling in the early 90s from Italy to Denmark. It was quite a trip. It's not, you know, the modern and connected world we have today, we live in today. So my dad went to Copenhagen to support Parma, but we lost. I say we because it's, you know, the city from my town. Meanwhile, Galatasaray was still looking for its very first European title. So we'll dive deep into this great game after these words.
DU Did You Know is brought to you by Penguin Radio. DU Did You Know that the Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference is coming up in April? What's that? The Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference is an opportunity for Dominican students to practice their presentation skills by showcasing their senior capstone research projects to a live audience.
Is there any way this can help me after college?
Let's ask Professor Bill Phillips, one of the founders of the conference.
Presenting yourself in this manner is very good experience because when you go out on the job market, you have to present yourself and you have to have confidence when you do it. This is just one more way of getting that confidence.
Along with Professor Bill Phillips, Michael Pujols is one of the other founding members of the Dominican Scholarly and Creative Works Conference. Can you tell us about Dominican Scholar?
The role of Dominican Scholar is we're taking the conference schedule, we're putting online in Dominican Scholar, and then we're also, if students want to, and of course, you know, with their faculty advisor permission, we can also upload the posters, we can upload their presentations or slide sets, you know, what have you. So Dominican Scholar plays the electronic role as far as getting the conference out there and making it available to the public.
Is there anything you would like to add, Professor Phillips?
It's a celebration of the capstone project that all students are working on. And it's a privilege to present your research and to have other people see what you're doing, because it's a culmination of your academic experience here at Dominican. And you should be able to be on a platform where you could just show off the stuff that you've done.
How can I find out more information?
The link for Dominican Scholar is scholar.dominican.edu.
Find out more information at scholar.dominican.edu.
See you there!
DU Did You Know, brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
Welcome back to the Champions League, the only show that brings you inside the 2000 Europa League final between Arsenal and Galatasaray right here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu or 102.3 FM. This is really the best radio from San Fran to Japan, ladies and gentlemen. Dear listeners, as I told before the break, we are going to review this great European final. But before that, I have to tell you that the show will be also about the 2017-18 Champions League. So we'll rewind that after this Arsenal-Galatasaray final. So let's stick with us for that Champions League was won, of course, by Real Madrid. It was their fourth Champions League in 5 years. Great, great stuff. So stick with us for that. But now, we have so many stories to tell from that Arsenal-Galatasaray game. For example, the great striker for Galatasaray was called Hakan Şükür. He was Turkish and he was youngster back then, and he was supposed to take over the world, which will not happen, but he is for sure one of the iconic players from that, you know, late 90s, early 2000s used to play in Italy as well, and his dad owned a furniture shop, and he was a great Fenerbahce fan. You know, in Turkey there is this, it's really out of the roof. We have rivalries in the US, of course, but it's anything like the rivalry in Turkey from Fenerbahce and Galatasaray. It's fierce, it's competitive, it's more than that, it's just violent most of the times, and it's bloody, and yeah, I don't want to even Google how many people died in clashes between, you know, legions of fans, and it's really, really sad. And but that tells a great story of how and just the competitiveness the fans have, and the spirit of really hate and competition they have against each other. Hakan Şükür is the missing striker for Galatasaray and hits the post in the beginning of the second half. The game is really played in a great manner by both teams. They're passing the ball a lot, not many errors, but the only mistakes the players do is in front of the goal. So the build-up phase for both teams is pretty great. But when they arrived in the last third of the field, they are not able to be precise and keep their composure to put the ball into the net. While Arsenal, the best attacking player is of course none other than the legend itself, Thierry Henry, the great Frenchman who used to play for Juventus and Monaco in his early days. Of course, when he was playing for Juventus under legendary coach Carlo Ancelotti, he was playing as a right back. Can you believe that? One of the best strikers ever used to play as a right back. But then he transferred to England, to Arsenal in London, and there he became a world-class striker under Arsene Wenger. I went to London probably 4 years ago, and outside of the newly built Emirates Stadium, which is, you know, replaced the 100 years old Highbury Stadium, it was really painful for diehard Arsenal fans to watch their old stadium, you know, to be abandoned and dismantled. But the new Emirates Stadium is really, really a cool stadium. And outside of that, there is a Thierry Henry statue. So of course, I took a photo with that statue. There is Henry celebrating a goal, and I took a tour of the Emirates Stadium, and it's really beautiful to see inside. They tell you the story, and they bring you on the stands, inside the manager area, inside the dressing rooms. It's really interesting to see the impact that Frenchman manager Arsene Wenger had on their team. Think about the fact that the dressing room themselves were thought by Arsene Wenger according with feng shui principles from the Japanese culture. So it's just immense the impact that in his almost 30 years long tenure Arsene Wenger had on Arsenal history. His all around impact has been second to probably just Sir Alex Ferguson, which is someone we will discuss later or in the next episodes of the Champions League right here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu or 102.3 FM. Other stories, such as the one of the keeper, David Seaman. He was a complete madman. Long hair, just like they were popular in the 90s. There was the captain of the team, Tony Adams. He used to play with number 6 on the shirt. A great center back. His story is pretty inspiring as well, because being a great player as he was, he had a very bad alcohol problem. Just like many footballers, let's remind. George Best, one of the best ever, Wayne Rooney, was, you know, supposedly, allegedly, struggling with alcohol as well. And Tony Adams really found himself in a bad place, but thanks to soccer and thanks to friends and help, he was able to get out of that bad spot in his life. So it's a remarkable story. And of course, Tony Adams was a great player. We will talk about an episode that will happen in this game a bit later. Guess who was playing also up front for Arsenal FC? None other than the Dutch legend Dennis Bergkamp. Bergkamp, I have to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. The best compilation of goals on the internet, on the YouTube, if you just Google player X goals and skills, is Dennis Bergkamp, because he had such great first touch. He could control every ball. He was just magical. I was watching the other day the 1998 World Cup quarterfinal between Argentina and Netherlands, and Dennis Bergkamp was playing up front for the Netherlands, of course, and he just scored a screamer. I don't even have the words to describe Dennis Bergkamp. He is really, really great, and he will not score in this game, unfortunately, but playing the great games he always had. Who was also there? The 1998 World Cup champ, Emmanuel Petit from France, of course. Great midfielder. Marc Overmars, another Dutch guy, was there. And last but not least, the English Pelé from Romford, Ray Parlour. Ray Parlour is such a trivia name. A guy who is, you know, what is Ray Parlour's nickname? The English Pelé from Romford. Romford being a small subsidiary city close to London. Ray Parlour, a great player who had such a short career. He was not playing at his peak for a long time, but all around a player that Arsenal fan will remember for sure. Talking about the game, though, the game will end, as I told you, it was not just both teams not being able to score a goal, despite many great and clean occasions they have in front of the goal. So the game gets to the extra time, 30 minutes of extra time, after the first 90s in regulation ended in a goalless draw. And what happens early in extra time was the infamous punch thrown by the best player from Galatasaray, Gheorghe Hagi, the Romanian legend, to Tony Adams. It was a fight for the ball, and Tony Adams was trying to protect the ball using his elbows and, you know, just old-mannered defender techniques, and Hagi had enough of those. He threw a punch and he was sent off with a straight red card. I don't know if it was the right decision. It was not. It was a punch, yes, which is not good, of course, but Tony Adams exaggerated and he flopped. I don't know. It was a controversial decision also because Tony Adams was using a lot of elbows as well, and he probably should have sent off as well. So Gheorghe Hagi, probably at the very peak of his great career, he is called the Maradona from the Carpathians. The Carpathians is a mountain region close to Eastern Europe and Romania. He was born there, and he was just a great player. He used to play with number 10 on the back. You know, number 10 is the number of football itself. And he was one of the best players who ever played to Brescia in Italy, of course. And they say that in Brescia, they say, I have a lot of friends there, and they say that in his best days, Gheorghe Hagi, they swear, was the best player they ever saw. So that's how good Gheorghe Hagi was. But he was sent off, leaving his team, Galatasaray, 10 against 11 Arsenal members. Thierry Henry took over in extra time. He was energetic and fast when nobody still had anything in the tank. Thierry Henry was close to the goal so many times, but still, not even after 120 minutes, was able to find the net. So, what we have now is, of course, the penalty shootout to decide who's gonna win the 2000 Europa League final. But first, let's talk about briefly some players from Galatasaray, because it was a stacked Galatasaray team with many many famous players. They were icons, not even just in Turkey, all around the world, because I told you Gheorghe Hagi from Romania, he used to play in the World Cups as well in those years, the 1994 World Cup in the US and the 1998 World Cup in France. A player who subbed in named Hassan Sass has a great story, a couple of anecdotes. He lost one time, he lost 1 liter of blood after a fight with a teammate in the dressing room, got suspended from football 6 months after doping tests returned positive for the banned substance pyrifolamine. While on suspension for that, he decided to fulfill the military service obligation from the Turkish government, and it was a real struggle for him because his lieutenant, his boss, was a supporter again of Fenerbahce, and he made Hassan's life a real hell. He is now the co-associate head coach for Galatasaray alongside Ümit Duvala, who was playing in that game for Galatasaray as well. Can you believe that 20 years later, these two players that played in a great historic final are the associate head coaches for Galatasaray? And guess who is the coach for Galatasaray right now? None other than the legend itself, probably the most important Turkish soccer-related personality ever, the Emperor Fatih Terim, the coach who used to coach AC Milan, of course, and the Turkish national team. And he has been on Galatasaray's bench 4 times, from 1996 to 2000, from 02 to 04, from 2011 to 2013, and from 2017 still to this day, and going as strong as ever. Other Galatasaray players are, for example, such Okan Buruk, nicknamed the Maradona from Turkey. So we have the Maradona from the Carpathians, the Maradona from Turkey, a lot of Maradonas. you know, everybody who was young and skilled back in the days were called the new Maradona. Now there are a lot of new Messis. There is also an interesting Wikipedia page on the new Messis. It's really funny to see. Okan Buruk used to play for Inter Milan as well. And the keeper, who was named Man of the Match after his great performance between the posts, was a 1994 World Cup winner, Claudio Taffarel, who used to play for Parma as well. There were a lot of chin-bomb chants from the stands. It's a typical core from Galatasaray's fans. But we're finally into the penalty shootout sequence, so the game will be decided by the penalty kicks. The first to go is Ergun for Gala, and he scores. Then the Croatian sensation Davor Šuker, former Sevilla and Real Madrid striker, misses, hitting the post, so Arsenal is already down 1-0. Hakan Şükür is next, and he scores. Parlour, the play from England, scores for Arsenal. Ümit scores for Gala. Patrick Vieira, the great holding midfielder from France, is next, and he misses, hitting the crossbar. So now Arsenal is down 3-1. If Popescu scores the fourth and decisive penalty, he gives Galatasaray the trophy, and he does. So the Turkish team has won, despite being by far the worst team in regulation Arsenal should have won by popular decision, but this is how soccer goes. Not always, and you know, in a just one game, it's not a series. It's not a 7-game series such as they have in the NBA. It's one game, lose it, and you're home without the trophy. It's really tough to accept that sometimes, but it's just how it works in European soccer. Galatasaray's jersey. Let's end on a funny note. Galatasaray's jerseys look like Messina's jersey. This Italian team was pretty good in the early 2000s. Now it's having difficult times after filing for bankruptcy, and it's now living in the lower leagues in Italy's system. But Galatasaray's jerseys were really, really funny to see because they were baggy, and now no one plays with baggy jerseys anymore. This was just colorful note from the game, but when we come back after the break, we will talk about the 2017-18 edition of the Champions League, so you don't want to miss that. It will be really, really interesting to rewind after these words.
If you're looking for a fun way to get away from the grind of homework and quizzes, then the California Film Institute has you covered. One of the largest nonprofit film organizations in the Bay Area, the CFI proudly owns and operates the Christopher B. Smith Rafael Film Center on 4th Street in downtown San Rafael. The Rafael Theater is open year-round and is home to the prestigious Mill Valley Film Festival and the Docklands Documentary Film Festival. The Rafael's catalog of films include award-winning independent dramas, shocking and revealing documentaries, the best in world cinema, rare retrospectives, along with opera and ballet performances presented live on screen. The Smith Rafael Film Center is located at 1118 4th Street in San Rafael between A and B Streets. The Smith Rafael Film Center is the perfect place to start a romantic evening or to decompress with a group of friends. To keep up with everything happening at the Rafael, please visit our website at rafaelfilm.org. Sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Welcome back to the Champions League, the only show on Penguin Radio that brings you inside the 2017-18 edition of the Champions League. After discussing the 2000 Europa League final, let's move forward on radio.dominican.edu and 102.3 FM. And talk about the crazy UCL competition from 2 years ago. Just like what we did in a previous episode talking about last year's Champions League, we will rewind the process of how the four semifinalists got there and then dive deep in both legs of the semifinal clashes. And finally, of course, the final game in the Olympiski Stadium in Kiev, Ukraine. Let's talk about the process of how they got there. I just need to click on my PC here. Okay, here we are. The round of 16, which is the first knockout stage of the Champions League, was played by 16 teams, of course. It came after the group stage, of course. And yeah, now we got the boring part out of the way. And the semi-finalists, Bayern Munich, knocked out pretty easily Beşiktaş with an aggregate result of 8-1, while Real Madrid fought off Paris Saint-Germain, the great team from France, of course. They won both games, as well in Madrid as in Paris. And Liverpool, in the round of 16, won 5-0 in the first leg against Porto, the Portuguese team, so they had a pretty easy life in the second leg going through. And the last semi-finalist, Rome from Italy, who surprisingly made it all the way to the semi-final, as we will see, they won luckily against Shakhtar Donetsk 1-0 in the second leg. They lost in Ukraine 2-1, so with the away goal rules, they were able to advance to the quarterfinals. In the quarterfinals, the Italian side, Rome, faced the Spanish powerhouse FC Barcelona. So, oh my god, everybody was panicking in Rome. I remember Italy was like, okay, Rome will be knocked off, as they always do in the round of 16. No, they won, so they will be knocked off in the quarterfinals. Fine, not much, fuss or noise from Rome in the Champions League also this year. But back there, the coach Eusebio Di Francesco was able to pull off a miracle in the second leg, winning 3-0, and just coming back from a 4-1 deficit in the first leg in Barcelona. So Rome scored an away goal, and therefore they were able to advance to the semi-final. Can you believe that, dear listeners on Penguin Radio? Rome knocked off Barcelona, and it was really a historic game for Roma fans, who have this losing culture just inside of their body and their minds and their trading center. Rome was able to advance thanks to a late minute screamer, a header by Greek defender Kostas Manolas. His reaction after the goal, he was just screaming and celebrating. He was living his best life, of course, and it was really, really a night to remember for our Italian and Roman fans that night. In the other quarterfinal, we have a pretty decent English clash between Liverpool and Manchester City. They were also the teams that were fighting for that English crown in the Premier League, and Man City was having the best of Liverpool. So if in domestic league Man City was running out with a championship, Liverpool managed to pull off the upset and win 3-0 in the first leg in Anfield Road, and win again to complete a 5-1 aggregate result to knock off Manchester City and his manager Pep Guardiola. And by the way, guys, you might have heard that Pep Guardiola, which is unanimously probably the best coach in the world for Manchester City, his mother died because of coronavirus. So condolences to him in this tough time. But let's move on, because the other quarterfinal, the upper bracket, is made up of Real Madrid and Juventus, plus Sevilla against Bayern Munich. So Sevilla made it to the quarterfinals in a surprising fashion, knocking off Manchester United. The coach back there was Vincenzo Montella, the Italian one, who basically sucked everywhere, but he made it to the quarterfinals of the Champions League, which is really a strange thing to do, but he got knocked off by Bayern Munich, who won 2-1 the first leg away at the Sanchez-Pizjuan Stadium in Sevilla, Spain. So Bayern Munich will wait for one of two powerhouses, Juventus or Real Madrid. First leg, and you might have known that Cristiano Ronaldo transferred to Juventus after this season, so he was playing for Real Madrid back there, not for Juventus. And in the first leg, it was a Real Madrid masterclass in Turin, Italy. They came into the Allianz Stadium and kicked Juventus' butt, winning 3-0. It was the famous game, of course, of Cristiano Ronaldo. Perfect bicycle kick to stun Buffon and every Juventus fan. They won 3-0, but then, back in Madrid for the second leg, they were losing 3-0. So the game was really going to the extra time. But, at the very last minute, Moroccan defender Mehdi Benatia committed... it's really tough to speak about this in Italy because it made the news for like 2 months straight. Benatia committed probably a foul, but we are not sure. It's still a debated topic. The referee gave the Real Madrid a penalty, so probably, yeah, it was a foul, but it's still arguable and it's blurry. And Cristiano Ronaldo, of course, scored on that penalty kick, because that's what he does. He just scores every time. It was the famous "you pay" moment from Chiellini, and Buffon got sent off. Real Madrid, of course, was able to advance to the semi-finals and meet Bayern Munich there. Real Madrid and Bayern Munich has met probably 20 times in the last 10 years in the Champions League. They meet every time around the quarterfinals or the semifinals, and most of the times Real Madrid has the best of the German side. This happens also this time. They were able to advance with an aggregate result of 4-3. So Real Madrid has the ticket for the 26th of May 2018 final in Kiev, Ukraine. The other semi-final, of course, was played between English side Liverpool and the Italian Rome. So AS Rome were huge underdog against Liverpool, who displayed a great soccer style in the competition. So Liverpool were able to smash Rome in the first leg at Anfield Road. They won 5-2. The game was not even close, to be honest with you, because the great performance by attacking players Roberto Firmino and Mo Salah, the Egyptian who used to play for Rome, was really decisive. Can you believe that? In a semi-final of the Champions League, both players, both teammates, had 2 goals and 2 assists each. And the 5th goal was scored by Sadio Mane, who is the 3rd member of the deadly combination up front for Liverpool, and Rome was barely able to react. They scored a couple of goals, of course, including a last-minute penalty by Argentinian striker Diego Perotti, but their second leg in Rome had to be really an historic comeback to pull off the qualification, and they were not able to do it, but just they went that close because they won 4-2. So the first leg was won by Liverpool 5-2, and the second leg was won by Rome only 4-2. So Rome had to score a 5th goal to put it to the extra time, but they were not able to pull it off. So Liverpool advances. It was, of course, the first great Liverpool coached by Jurgen Klopp. We are set, guys. We have the final in Madrid. But we'll talk about that after this break.
I fuck Shireen and went to tell my bros. Then Usher rang me, let it burn, came on.
That burn came on.
I saw Saul and Nata rhyming, yeah, bitch. Parked the car, then we start rhyming, yeah, bitch. The only thing we had to free our mind. Then freeze that verse when we see dollar signs.
See dollar signs.
You looking like an easy come up, yeah, bitch. A silver spoon, I know you come from, yeah, bitch. And that's a lifestyle that we never knew. Go at a rabbit for the revenue.
It go Holly Berry or hallelujah. Pick your poison, tell me what you do. Everybody go respect the shooter, but the one in front of the gun lives forever.
The one in front of the gun.
And I've been hustling all day, this away, that away, through canals and alleyways, just to say money trees is the perfect place for shade, and that's just how I feel. Nah, $8 might just fuck your main bitch. That's just how I feel. Nah, $8 might say fuck the niggas that you came with. That's just how I feel. Nah, $8 might just make that lane switch. That's just how I feel. Nah, $8 might turn to a million and we all rich. That's just how I feel.
Dreams of living life like rappers do.
Like rappers.
Welcome back to the Champions League, the only show that brings you inside the 2017-18 Champions League final in Kiev, Ukraine, between Liverpool and Real Madrid, a historic clash between two of the most famous and important soccer teams in the world. It was played in Kiev, Ukraine, as I told you, in the Olympijski Stadium. As you're listening to Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu or 102.3 FM in San Rafael, California. So before the game, we knew that both teams had a great runaway through the competition. They were probably the rightful teams to arrive in this final. And the game, as I told you before, for the when we rewinded the 2000 Europa League final between Galatasaray and Arsenal, this is not a 7-game series. This is just a one-shot game. That's the game. If you lose it, you're out and you do not get the trophy. Just a crappy silver medal. We knew Liverpool was without defenders Joel Matip and Joe Gomez, and the swingman Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, but basically the whole, you know, the best starting 11 was there. Meanwhile, Real Madrid, of course, had no injuries, no issue. They are just always perfect when it comes down to the Champions League. They were winning a lot of the previous Champions Leagues, of course. It was their fourth final in 5 years. They won the much awaited La Decima, which is their 10th Champions League in their history. They won it in 2014 with Carlo Ancelotti, the Italian mastermind. But after that, they really took off and won many Champions Leagues. On the other side, Jurgen Klopp was able to get to the final in 2012 with German side Borussia Dortmund, but lost, and now on the bench of Liverpool, had wanted to have his revenge. The first half of the game was really stingy and just stressful to watch because the players were committing a lot of turnovers, a lot of errors, because the pressure was so high. Nobody wanted to commit errors. And probably the most important event that happened in the first half is the foul by Sergio Ramos to someone who played as the very best player in the world for the first 6 months on 2018. The Egyptian winger Mohamed Salah had to be subbed off because of injury to his shoulder. Actually, it was funny. Sergio Ramos was applying a choke or something. It was an MMA move or something like that to injure Mo Salah, who had to come off the game, which is, of course, a huge win for Real Madrid. Real Madrid was able to find the net twice in the first 20 minutes of the second half because of two awful, dreadful injuries and errors and mistakes by the poor keeper from Liverpool, Lloris Carius, who was by far the worst performer in that game. He suffered depression, actually, so he had to, you know, treat this issue with the dignity that it needs, because the keeper, who is just, you know, an important role, because if he does mistakes, if he commits an error, everybody sees it. So he did that in the most important stage of the year for soccer, the Champions League final. So he gifted Benzema the ball for his first goal, and Liverpool ended up losing 3-1. Gareth Bale, the substitute for Real Madrid, Mr. 100 million euros, subbed in and scored twice for Real Madrid, who won their fourth Champions League final in 5 years. So Cristiano Ronaldo had won another trophy, and Liverpool was once again stuck and close to the trophy itself. But as we rewinded the last episode, they came back the following year and they won it last year in 2019 against Tottenham in a final. So great job by Liverpool. And it was funny, they replaced poor Lloris Carius, the keeper that cost them this final. They replaced him with one of the best keepers in the world, Alisson from Rome, a team they just knocked off in the semi-final. They bought Alisson for around 60 million euros. And that's what you do to get a Champions League trophy. You have to improve your weak spots. And we have just to take a moment to consider the poor career of Lloris Carius after this. After its finals, he got sold to Turkish team Beşiktaş, and he is still struggling in the Turkish league. So it's really a bad thing to see just how quickly his career went south. Let's hope he finds his inner and best shape again, because he was really a decent keeper back in the days, and now he lost confidence, he lost hope, and has been through different difficult times. So let's hope Lloris Carius comes back on the right path in the future. This is the end, guys, of the sixth episode of the Champions League. Has been a great, great show. We have rewinded a lot of great things, waiting for the actual Champions League to get back on track, because we don't really want to watch the only soccer tournament that is on right now, the Belarusian Premier League. I mean, nah, soccer in Belarus is not, it's probably, it's too low of a level for us to see that, to be honest with you. So we will go on with rewinding stuff in the following episodes, which is really funny. And we will read some articles as well, because it's really insightful. And yeah, we'll have a lot of fun. So we will see you the next time. Until then.
Bump that newbie 40 at the school. Way at the school, way at the school. You know, big ballin' with my homies. Bro, Stevens had us thinking rational. Thinking rational, that's rational. Back to reality, we poor, yeah, bitch. Ain't nothing casualty at war, yeah, bitch. Two bullets in my Uncle Tony head. My Tony head. He said one day I'll be on tour, yeah, bitch. That Louis burgers never be the same. Won't be the same. Hey, Louis Belda never ease that pain. Won't ease that pain. But I'ma purchase when that day is jerking. Pull off at churches with Pirelli skirting. Gang signs out the window, yeah, bitch. Yeah, bitch.